June 6, 2020, it's a Watch from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Happy Saturday. First Saturday of June. And Matt, we're still in quarantino mode, so he's 3 miles south at the Love Grotto on Pleasure Point. But I'm not totally man alone. In fact, I got a revisit from a good friend in Holland, Brother A.J. Sagar. Welcome aboard.
How are you?
And we start off the show with a drum thing from John Coltrane, obviously Brother Alvin, probably. And then Bahan Boy. I mean, we talked about this at the end of the last time you were on the show. And, in fact, you had given me the album that's, what's it, coming out today?
Yeah, it came out yesterday, Friday the 5th of June, 2020. Yep, yesterday was the release, official release day of the album.
Which was good because that was the Bandcamp. You know, that is a good site, Bandcamp, you know, and they donate, seems like once a month now, all the bones can go to the artist.
And it's a great gesture, and it's really appreciated by a lot of musicians who, you know, don't have the money to actually put a physical product out, but they do want to get their music out somehow. And I think Bandcamp is a fantastic platform to allow musicians anywhere to get their music out, and you know, maybe earn a little bit something back from the efforts that they've put in. So no, I'm a big fan of Bandcamp for sure.
Yeah. Much respect, and for them to be like that, and you know, because there has been other stuff, right? And it's kind of jive, and these people seem way more together that way. Now we played. There was something I didn't have, because one by one, since then, every show I've been playing all the songs from that album that never was out until yesterday. But then you gave me this single that you made just for yesterday called For Robbie Basho.
Yes, I did, yeah. I made
Now, who's Robbie Basho?
Robbie Basho, he was an American musician. He was a guitar player who lived on the West Coast in Berkeley, I believe. He was an orphan as a child, and he was adopted, and he grew up kind of sort of otherworldly child, and music was his saving grace. And through music, he grew as a person, and he picked up the guitar, and he became one of the exponents of the American primitive, what the critics call the American primitive tradition. People like him and John Fahey, they were at the forefront in the 50s and 60s.
Okay, because I was going to ask you the era. He's a contemporary John Fahey.
Okay. Yeah, exactly, yeah. And he started playing, making music, playing guitar. And John Fahey actually picked up on him and started released his first album on Tacoma Records. And thereafter he released stuff on different labels, but returned back to Tacoma eventually. He also, in his later life, he became a Sufi, and Sufism was a huge part of his life. And it also, through his music, he discovered different traditions and forms like the and philosophies like Japanese philosophy, Native American philosophy, Indian philosophy, and actually what shaped his music was when he heard Ravi Shankar for the very first time in 1962, and the whole idea of making music in a raga form was what he took on board, and basically his music thereafter took on the form of guitar ragas. So if you listen to his music, you know that he might begin with some form of a structure, but then he'll go out into some really, really, really deep improvising. And he sang as well. He had an incredibly unique voice, which I would suggest that listeners, if they've never heard of Robbie Basho, delve into his catalog and check him out. But I recently watched a movie about him, which I didn't know had existed, and somebody said, "Oh, have you seen the movie about his life?" So I found that on Vimeo and watched his whole life story, and it really touched me. I've been a huge fan of his music, but seeing the whole how his life had been and how it influenced his music then took on an even greater depth, in my head, I really looked at it from a totally different, well, not a totally different angle, but from a different perspective, because I realized, you know, the travails he'd been through to get his music out and what he went through physically. He had like back issues, and mentally being an adopted child, he had issues with his background and where he came from. And
where'd he come from?
And then
where'd he come from?
He was originally from the Midwest. And he got adopted at a very, very young age. And he had, like, his siblings were, he had, like, a brother and two sisters. And, so he never really got over the fact that, you know, he didn't know who his mum and dad were. And that kind of, you know, played a part in his how he looked out towards the wider world. So he was a complex character, and his music is definitely complex, but incredibly beautiful. So when I'd seen that film, I was really, really touched by it. And, you know, I've been a huge fan of his music for years, but that film really touched me in a way that I came really close to Basho. I felt like really close to him. I didn't feel like I knew him as a person, but I really came very, very much close to him. And through that, when I went into the studio, you know, I just started writing a number, and I had him in my head the whole time when I wrote it. There was if you hear the song, there's a part that's really beautiful and kind of, you know, very laid back. I don't know. It's a very trippy part to it. And then there's a second part of the song, which is, you know, has a bit more turmoil, which kind of reflects his other side of his life, mentally and physically. He had back issues, and that's how he died, actually, was from a visit to a chiropractor who, you know, twisted his neck and unfortunately killed him at the age.
Shit.
Yeah, at the age of 45, he died really, really young. So it's a really tragic ending. But he left us, you know, a huge, fantastic catalogue of music behind.
You know who else from those parts?
Sorry, can you say that again?
You know who else is from those parts, the East Bay?
No.
Harry Parch.
Oh, really?
This guy, he invented his own kind of instruments. I think he's part of this primitive, maybe a little before.
Yeah, well, Harry Parch was, he put out those, he also released a whole bunch of those American Primitive compilation albums.
That's what I'm saying, he's kind of connected, I think.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic, I didn't realize he was.
I got a big hole in my education there, that's why I need you, AJ.
Right.
Cool. So he inspired you to do this, but it's part of this other proj that we, you know, piece by piece, I played all the songs the last couple months.
Yeah, thanks for doing that, by the way.
Well, I love it. I love it. I mean, you know, you get yourself into these things. We also got further in the show some of your early shit like Donkey and Bent Mustache. And,
yeah.
You know, of course, the King Champion sound. But you just don't go for the rerun, you know. You make sure the projects are their own thing.
Meaningful. It's got to have a. I mean, I don't want to make music just for the sake of it. It's got to inspire you. It's got to give you a lot of energy, and it's got to keep you know your mind ticking. I can't rehash anything, and I don't really see the point of doing that. If you're not keeping yourself on your toes and sharp with the whole thing, then it becomes kind of like a hobby thing, and it's more than a hobby for me. It's my life. So. Yeah, I need it. It's like the energy that you need in your life on a daily basis.
The last record was a collab, right, with that lady. I'm sorry, I forgot her name. But
the Deutsche Ashram record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's her name?
Yeah, Marinda.
Marinda, sorry. Yeah. Much respect, yeah. Marinda. Sorry for Alzheimer's. But you're a very important person. But, I mean, that was a collab, and you can definitely notice. And then the Bajan Boy, right, is more Man Alone, your thing here. The King Champion sound, that's an ensemble.
Yeah, it's an ensemble, yeah. And that's something, again, because you're working with so many people, and you know, everybody obviously has different ideas on music and how to make it and the approach and way to go and directions to take. With King Champion Sounds, I basically, well, I'm not going to lie about it. I have the last word on it.
You're the editor. You're the shot caller.
Well, I come in with the ideas, and I say, look, this is what I'd like to do. Even as far as going, saying this is a riff that I want to play on, and this is the kind of the beats that I'm looking at. But it's not to say that the rest of the ensemble don't have any room to move in. They do, but the final cut when I'm in the studio, when I'm hearing things or whatever, if I don't like what I'm hearing, I'll say so, and I suggest I should take another shot at it, bring a different direction into it. But you know,
like G.W. Silk.
Well, Yoss is lyrics are his department, entirely his department.
Okay, okay.
And I've never had an issue with the quality of his words. I mean, he is.
But he's kind of a collab with the band too, right? He's not really a regular member.
No, yeah, he is. Yoss is.
I thought he was kind of a collab guy. Okay. My misunderstanding.
No. Yoss is absolutely everybody in the band who's played with the band is a full time member. It's never been
guested on it a couple tunes.
Yeah, of
I don't
course,
know if I'm a full time member yet.
No, but we'll around the core basis, if there are ideas, if I have ideas for this would be great if Watt did something on it, then I'll drop you a line and say, listen, would you want to do it? Would you be interested?
Yeah, look, you did.
Collabs are great to have, but there is a core basis in the band, for sure. Yeah.
Well, what about, look, another thing new besides this single you did for Robbie Basho, is University Challenged. And I want to play composition number one right now, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
Thank you.
For Pedro Show, composition number one from University Challenge, new pro, and it's not a one-man dealio. This is a three-man troika. Mocha, brand new side proj for the Miranda familiar Miranda people in Barcelona, with Jesus S. Angles, Wild Rats with Flo. Yeah, 23 years ago, they're finding stuff from those sessions to put out. Steve Shelley, Don Fleming, first. And then finally, Canada, Swenson Clay with eight. So let's enlighten the people. I think this is the first time I've ever played University Challenge.
You are the first person in the world to. Okay. you are premiering University Challenge for the very, very first time anywhere in the world. We saved these tracks for you, Walt.
Okay. Grazie, grazie, grazie. Thank you, Walt.
Prego.
You know, off-air people, I got hip to the fact that, yeah, three guys came together, they wanted to make a drone proj. But you fill in the rest of the
day. I was a bit too quick.
Bring it.
Well, it's three people. It's myself, Ollie Heffernan, who's in a band called Ivan the Tolerable, and also in King Champion Sounds. And a kid called Kohei Matsuda, a Japanese guy, who plays in a band called Boning, and who are now who moved from Tokyo to London many moons ago. But luckily, Kohei lives in Amsterdam. Three of us had an idea in 2019 to do a drone project. We played a couple of shows together. It went really, really well. And from that grew the idea, well, let's make an album. We were planning to go in my studio on the 1st of April. The crisis hit. All the flights got cancelled,
you know,
so we've had
you know
to do
that,
it remotely.
Right? April 1st, yeah. Is Steve Boone's birthday.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Always remember him on that day. But yeah, so we've been recording remotely, and I'm at the process now of mixing all the tracks and mastering, and they're sounding absolutely fantastic. Sounding
now,
really,
now, when
really...
you say drone proj, it's literal, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
guys, there's
sure.
Not really. Okay, I'm on a drone, and what kind of drone can you come up with to go with that drone?
Well, I mean, I think if you say drone, that's kind of a generalized view. I mean, I usually come in with
you know
a tune.
What, hey, brother, it's a lot more descriptive than power violence.
Well, like, yeah. I think I'd be really stuck if I was going around touting my band as being power violence genre. I don't know what people would make of it. I don't think we'd be getting many shows, that's for sure, anyway.
I heard there's a kind of subgenre of hardcore called that.
Oh, really?
But well, I can't tell the difference. One time I asked Per about dance music. He said, Mike, it's all about the BPM. Okay. That's,
yeah, fine. You keep the BPM, I'll take the tunes.
Okay, so sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, yeah, the concept behind the music isn't, I mean, it's not a case of, like, everybody just humming away on one note or something, but, you know, it's usually based, there's a lot of repetition, but, and building up and getting a dynamic going. So I'm a sucker for a riff, you know, a tune or whatever. And even if it's looped or whatever, I need to have that as a basis. And I usually begin with that. And then I let the other guys drone away or make their noises around it. And it's worked really, really well. It's worked incredibly well. We seem to have found an understanding of what everybody's about.
Yeah, I really dig it. Are you up for exposing the mystery of the name?
Yeah, it's in the UK, there's been a program running for since the 60s. It was called, it still exists. It's a program called University Challenge without the D at the end. So, and it's all these like two teams made up of four smart kids from universities who, you know, battle it out over half an hour over, you know, really, highbrow questions flying over the heads. I love the show actually. I love watching it and trying to take part and answer. But the you know it's kind of a it's just a regular show, quiz show for university students, and I took
on
it
on television.
Yeah. So I put the D on the end just to add
right,
a comedic effect to the whole thing.
What about instrumentation?
It's quite easy. It's basically any, you can pick up whatever you want. I usually work.
But how did you three guys decide? I'm just interested in the process that you guys three in particular.
I usually stick to the guitar and synthesizers. Ollie definitely sticks to the bass and a bunch of synthesizers. And Kohei uses guitar, but it's very processed through, you know. He's got a whole range of boxes, stomp boxes that he goes through, which, you know, could be synthesizer-type effects or overdrives or whatever, you know, oscillators, whatever. So it's all done on feeling on listening, really, deep listening. That's the crucial part of it.
But it's not like you guys reached out to unfamiliar stuff. You took what you already knew and adapted it to the proj. Okay.
Exactly. I mean, I'll start a process in my studio, and I'll have something, you know, which I think, oh, this is ace, and it's quite skeletal, and I'll send it through to Ollie, and then, you know, a few days later, he'll send it back to me. I'll have a listen, send that through to Kohei, and then Kohei takes about 10 weeks to get his shit together, but he finally gets around to it, and usually what he throws back is pretty damn good, really good. Up till now, I haven't had a case for any track where I've had to say to anybody, I'm sorry, that's not good enough. It's been, you know, I've been literally blown away by everything.
So you are the
said.
Shot caller in this project.
Yeah, well, somebody has to. I mean, that whole idea of democracies in bands does not exist. No band ever gets forwards in a democracy, no matter how much they plead that they are a democratic band. At the end of the day, there is always one person that has to call the shots.
A lot of hands on the rudder, really. Makes for tough stealing. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, June 6th.
Yeah.
Lot from Peter, our show special guest. AJ, hold tight for hour two. June 6th, 2020. It's the second hour of the Lot from Peter show. Thank you.
due to the boredom powder. No, due to the boredom power.
Violent white apes in a restaurant as rednecks had enough rising. Hypothetically vanished. People putting up their horoscopes at laundromats in the lot. Women in turquoise pull-on body pants that were famous in the 70s. They would read a woman's magazine during the split. Poor planet, poor planning, poor planet, poor planning. Old white people, old white people. Cans with a brush that you can paint like wood, wood coating, paint like wood. Deviated that much. Or are you going too fast? Are you? Are you going too fast?
Survival is nothing but a test. Away from survival is nothing but a guess. Away from survival is nothing but a test. Away from survival is nothing but a guess. Away from survival is sometimes a guess. Away from survival is nobody's guess. Away from survival is nobody's guess. Away from survival, better not run out of gas. Away from survival, you better not run out of gas. But you better not run out of gas. Away from survival, away from survival, away from survival, away from survival. A wave of survival.
Wim's survival. Wim's survival. Wim's survival. Blue. Boo. Wim's survival. Boo. Boo. Wim's survival is anybody's guess. Wim's survival, you better not run out of gas. Wim's survival is anybody's guess. Wim's survival, you better not run out of gas, though. You better not run out of gas, though. You better not run out of gas, though. You better not run out of gas, though.
The hide before the fact. What a cheap way to break boredom. To hide before the fact. To put the fact in front of the boredom. The avoidable fact of hide the coding. Get into the skeletal quick. Go to the very quick, quick.
Don't be ashamed. We want black power. 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 We don't have to be ashamed of it. We have stayed here and we begged the president. We begged the federal government. That's all we've been doing. Begging, begging. It's time we stand up and take over. Take over. We have to do what every group in this country did. We got to take over the community where we outnumber people so we can have decent jobs. So we can have decent houses. So we can have decent roads. So we can have decent schools. So we can have decent justice. Every courthouse in Mississippi ought to be burned down tomorrow to get into the dirty left and focus on it. Now from now on, when they ask you what you want, you know what to tell them. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Let them know.
For Pedro Show, start off the second hour with University Challenged with the D people, not the TV show. Composition number two, surprise. After that, from Tokyo, Few. This lady goes back to the 70s.
She's great.
You know about her, right?
Yeah, a lot of times.
With her voice. There's another lady in Tokyo like this. And I think for a while she was married to Fred Frith. Her name was Tenko. And she ended up just doing voice stuff. Now, this lady, though, works synthesizers, too.
Yeah, I love Few.
And then Thurston, he did something because of the moon, right? Strawberry Moon. It's called Strawberry Moon. And after that's a Cat Beefheart doing some poems after he stopped his music. And then a band that goes way back when you were still a bass man, Donkey, Extra Salvo. And,
fantastic.
Yeah, now you guys, you didn't come up, well, composition one, two, and stuff, so kind of conceptual, right? You wanted the music to do the talk, because you know how important a title can be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of mulled over it long and hard and thought, you know, do I need to, what should I give them for titles, and, you know, what do we want to say with these pieces? And in the end, I thought, why not why not let the music just do the talking for itself? And, you know, I think we don't need to attach any more titles to those things. It's the music is strong enough for what it is. I mean, if people want to refer to it, then they have a pretty straightforward name, composition number 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. It's let's also keeping it a little bit out of the usual you must have a name for every song.
Also instrumental kind of thing. You keep it in the world of the instrumental. Because here's an instrumental that I find, I use this example all the time. John Coltrane called that song Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even though somebody tells you, hey, he's phrasing off to Dr. King. Just by him putting that title there, you think of the four young girls, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, you know, music or a title can carry a big message, a heavy message, or bring something to the people. Coltrane obviously had that in mind when he wrote that piece, and the title said everything. All he had to say was the name of the state, and everybody knew exactly what he was talking about. And the weight of the music carried the power and brought the message over. So, no, I think, you know, a good title also serves a purpose when required.
Well, yeah, because I was just going to say Brother Booker T with his green onions.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't even really know.
No, actually, I recorded at Mr. Phillips' studio with Tab Falco, and the organ was there that he wrote it on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I found out Duck Doug isn't playing bass on the original record.
Let's
talk about this donkey. We're going to play another University Challenge next hour, but I played some donkey, and I'm going to play another thing. I think it's, you got a couple songs here that are like about soccer, right?
Oh, really?
Mondo Ajax.
Football. Total Football Royale.
Okay. My Dutch is kind of lame. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
It's all right.
But, you know, everybody likes, I mean, the No Means No guys, or the Wright brothers, they had the Hansen brothers, right, where they could sing about
brothers,
hockey.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
But
Donkey
wasn't really a soccer band, right?
No, not at all. I mean, we did this as a one-off for a label in London who were putting out singles. They were asking different bands to put out a single to do with soccer, with football, about their favorite teams. And I've been a season ticket holder now for nearly 30 years at Ajax. And in that time, it was, you know, we were on the crest of a wave, like winning the European Cup, et cetera, et cetera. So he'd asked me if we'd do a single, 7-inch single for it. And I was, yeah, of course. So we did it happily and we put it out. And I'll tell you a story behind it. I actually went to the old stadium where Ajax used to play, and I thought, you know, a good chance for a photo opportunity with the single outside the stadium. So I went down to the ground, and the players were actually training outside, and I waited till they finished, and I ran over to them as soon as the training ended, and I just went and introduced myself and said, hey, I'm a season ticket holder. I stand at the home end.
Oh, bass player, donkey.
Yeah, and I just said to them, look, I've just put out a record, a single, which is about the football club, and, you know, can I, you know, maybe take some photos with you guys outside the ground? And they were like, oh, yeah, cool. So I took some we had some photos taken, which I was purely planning to keep, for myself. Apparently this magazine in Holland heard about it called Panorama. And I got this telephone call out of the blue one day, and they were like saying, oh, yeah, we heard that you guys have put out a single about Ajax, the football club, and, we'd like to write a feature about it. And I didn't know anything about this magazine. I thought, any publicity is good publicity. But this magazine is just like one of those total trash magazines, which is just focuses on, B-stars from TV or movies and talks about their, private lives, et cetera, et cetera. So I didn't know about that. So I agreed to do it. And there was like a strip column in there in the next issue. And I went back to the house where I was staying with, and I lived in a house with people from the X and Dogface Hermans. So I told them that, you know, I was going to be in Panorama, this magazine, and they just looked at me in shock and horror, and they were like, what on earth are you on about? Why are you in that trashy magazine? The end result of it, the whole thing was, a few weeks later, I got this blue envelope through the letterbox, and it turned out to be from the tax office. And I was like, what on earth is this? Because I didn't, you know, I wasn't in a position to be paying tax because I was earning unemployment benefit at the time. And it just, there was a letter in there saying, dear Mr. Sager, we believe that you have your own record label and that you might owe us some money for tax purposes. And they'd read that column in the Panorama. So they kind of put two and two together and thought that I had a record label and that I was like earning money without declaring anything. So I had to write them a really long letter explaining, no, I don't have a record label. We only put out a few copies of the single and I haven't made any money from it at all. And luckily they saw the light and let me off the hook on that one.
Okay, but it was a close call. Let's listen to the damaging stuff.
Go for it. only 2,000, so we've been told. But still, you'll never get their gold. It's hid so well in a secret fold. So many secrets in the world. There's so many layers of secrecy. So many shell games, believe you me. So many kinds of money to hide and comb the world that you won't find. You'll be taken for an infinite ride. So many secrets in the world. Why waste your life consumed with greed when you've already got what you really need? You don't need their brand names, their corporate trash. You've got health and youth, don't sacrifice that. What good will do to kill 2,000 billionaires? There's still 50 million millionaires. You want to become a killing machine? The fulfillment of an animal dream? Be just as bad as the people you scream at? The ones who serve the capitalist scheme? So many secrets in the world. The cops you mocked are just machines, slaves of technology, behavioral means. They're victims too, cogs in a wheel, a system that won't be revealed. The system's end of stage concealed. So many secrets in the world. So many secrets in the world. The billionaires are on their yachts, on secret islands, New Zealand, where? If you kill them all, you still won't get rich. They've hidden their wealth, sneaky sons of a bitch. So many secrets in the world. Kill all the billionaires in the world. Too many secrets in the world. We'll be right back.
Fluit die hem meekrijgt. Fluit, die wordt van de bal gelopen door Albertini. En dan herstelt hij toch goed. En dan geeft hij hem aan Finidi. Finidi in het centrum gebaat. Canoe dat hij hem graag wil hebben. Canoe, welkom bij Overmars. Overmars laat de bal lopen. Moet de bal laten lopen. Houdt hem wel binnen met zijn snelheid. In de buurt van de cornervlag. Overmars. Overmars met Canoe voor het doel. Overmars terug naar Davids. Schiet een keertje met rechts, jongen. Schiet mee. Geeft maar Rijkaard. Rijkaard komt die bord slot mee. 1-2. Kuiper, Kuiper is het Kuiper! Ja, ja, ja!
Een club in Nederland, welke is dat?
Dat is Ajax natuurlijk. Dat is Ajax.
En hoe moet je nou de opening vinden om dat schot te brengen? Gerry Muren probeert wat, geeft hem in het midden. Johan Cruijff, schitterende kopstoot. Wat een doelpunt, wat een doelpunt. Een voorzet van Gerry Muren. En op een geweldige manier ging Johan Cruijff naar de lucht in. En met een schitterende kopbal is de stand dan op dit moment met nog 1 minuut te spelen. 4-0 in het voordeel van Ajax. Maar hier is het vreugde in het Olympisch Stadion van Amsterdam. Kussentjes worden hoog in de lucht gesmeken.
Jeroen niet Cruijffie. Ja, ze roepen wel nooit wat Cruijffie, maar het is eigenlijk Ajax. En zo is met alles. Niet of je nou Muller doet, of Benny, of Piet, of Sagi. Het is allemaal hetzelfde. Het is Ajax.
Prachtig gedaan! En een doelpunt! Dat doet hij graag! Ah, dat is geweldig! 4-0! En nu, na een schitterende doorbraak van Jacques Zwart in de voorzet, die nog even werd aangetipt door Johan Cruijff, wacht Nuninga deze volkomen van de kook zijnde defensie van Liverpool voor de 4e keer. Gaan we ze nakijken. 4-0, een paar minuten voor rust.
Voor Ajax in je fight and smoke it, man.
Oh-ho!
Watch for Pedro Show. I'm going to pronounce this fucked up, but Mondo Ajax. I know about Ajax because it's a Greek.
Greek.
Yeah. Hero. Yeah.
Yeah.
And from Donkey. And also, we had a weapon system here. But believe it or not, where I practice, its last incarnation was an Ajax, Nike Ajax base.
Oh, God.
And then Nike Hercules. Yeah, this idea where there was too many Soviet bombers. So if we just put little nuclear warheads, we could blow them up over Los Angeles.
Jesus.
And, yeah, I know. Luckily, we did something with them called SALT and got rid of them.
Well, I won't be writing a song about that, that's for sure.
No. SALT, a strategic arm limitation. I think it's all gone because that country disappeared.
Right.
Anyway, V-Vale after that with Kill the Billionaires. He wants everybody to know it's satire, okay? And then I think he said there's 130 of them. Signor Al from South London with Raccoon Dog Revolution. And finally, Total Royale Football.
Football.
Which is the way they... Yeah, I know, but spelled with a V. Yeah, Votaball. Actually, Dutch is before English. It's probably from the German and... So I shouldn't be telling anybody how to talk, but Donkey, which, you know, I knew about Donkey when I first met you and you were doing sound with Jay Maskus.
So that's
20 years now, AJ.
That's
20 years.
We played together.
That's
at
right.
Donkey
right.
opened for you guys at the FNR, in the mid-90s, you know.
With Firehose.
Yeah, I think Firehose.
That's right.
And so we actually have played together. I remember you picked up my Fender Precision bass and you were admiring it because it's like a vintage thing from the 70s, and you were telling me some history about it, about the bass. So I was just like, well, he knows his bass. All right, that was pretty cool. We've actually played together.
That's
before.
Where Dutch dude Carlos was a booking man before he was a booking all my gigs for like 25 years in Europe. Was
that's
FNR,
right, yeah.
FNR.
Carlos from Hyper.
Yeah, right. He's in Rotterdam, and then he's got a farm in Zeeland, huh? But he's out
that's
of the
right.
racket. He's out of the racket now. The mojo got sold to some Clear Channel thing or something years ago.
Yeah. He quit before that, I think. So.
Yeah, well, no, that was part of the dealio that kind of greased it, he told me.
Ah, okay, well.
We're at the end of the second hour, June 6, 2020. Peter Show, special guest AJ's, Hold Tight 5-3. June 6, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. Started hour three off with composition number three, appropriate, universally challenged. Then we had Crane with Ancestral Angels. And then another project, I think this is the project after Donkey, the Bent Mustache, Skip a Beat.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, let's so enlighten was... people.
Well, the Donkey kind of, I don't know, I decided to take it a different direction. I kind of ditched the name and came up with the Bent Mustache as a name and with the original guitar player from Donkey and a new drummer. And just, started doing new stuff, basically.
You stayed on the bass, though. You stayed on the bass.
Yeah, I was on the bass on there. And it was actually the first time I started flirting with the guitar at some stage. So I just needed to, try something new, keep myself excited, you know, about playing, about the actual physical aspect of playing music as well. So it was the first time I actually picked up a guitar and just, you know, didn't do anything with it in the band as such. But later, you know, maybe on the last album, I actually played one song or something on the guitar with it. But no, bass was still the main thing on the Bent Mustache.
And I want to play a tune here. Pastures, New Seasons, Turn.
Cool, yeah. I love that track.
But that's worded trippy.
Yeah.
It's kind of Asian.
we were saying... Talking about Coltrane, you know, giving
sure.
a name to his music as to, and that spoke volumes. And I guess this was also something that was a title which spoke for me anyway a lot about how life was turning and where I was going with my life and you know within my family and you get older,
less younger.
Changing. Yeah.
Less younger.
Yeah.
It was like a diary entry.
Almost, yeah, definitely.
sacred ghosts all of tears at the window. Missing stereo bird songs that used to float and fly as my eyes twist and sparkle with old melodies. I never dreamed could just lay down and die. Is there a spirit smiling in the wind, little girl? Is there smoke that climbs back to the earth? Can spring pour out the pain in our hearts once again? Already lost, but still burning beautiful. When we were dirty angels that licked each other clean, just like all those stray cats and fireflies, all was temptation singing over the bones, in love with the way the flame dances and cries. Spirit smiling in the wind, little girl. Is there smoke that climbs back to the earth? Can spring pour out the pain in our hearts once again? Already lost, but still burning beautiful. Said you were crazy, but I heard through all their hearsay, and I dare say eventually I heard what they said. But crazy's just life, dying to live. After all, the dying is dead. Turn out bad, then we'll take what we're given and we'll cover it in blood. Oh, is there a spirit smiling in the wind, little girl? Is there smoke that climbs back to the earth? Can spring pour out all the pain in our hearts once again? Already lost, but still burning. Yeah, still burning beautiful.
What you know? Over here, you pick it out. Now, as the king of hunters.
Show final music for this edition. Pastor's New Season's Turn, the Bent Mustache. Where'd that name come from?
No idea. It came up really fast. I needed a title, and things just whizzed through my head. And it was one of the first things I plucked. It was just what I imagined and came up with at a particular time. I liked it and I stuck to it.
Can I make a guess? Did you look in the mirror and the mustache was fucked up? I did it. Well, I think maybe 10, 12 years, but never again. I will never wear facial hair again.
Well, I've had it once in my life. I did it as a bet and held it for a couple of months, but no, I've never had facial hair since then, that's for sure. Not my thing, really.
Yeah, I mean, I hate shaving too, but no more village. You know, I put my time in with the village people.
Yeah, and you were good at it.
You know where it really helped me? Driver's license and passport at Borders, because all those policemen and guard guys were wearing them. And in fact, I got a lot of shit when I did shave. Like, why'd you cut it off?
You're one of the brothers.
My mother complained. Okay, Sacred Ghost from Knoxville. Oh, man, fuck you. What a great name for a band. Well, I think he calls it Omfu for the... This is Steve Chicanti, who was served a little while with the Deerhoof.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they got a brand new record, by the way. And Greg, in fact, living here in, well, not Pedro, but about 25, 30 miles north in Silver Lake. Revelation from Midnight Bomber, What Bombs at Midnight. That's a talk about a name of a band, you know. And then finally, I played, this is the 10th week in a row of Henry Kaiser with these big instrumentals. Part 5 of 5, El Tren Fantasma with Alvaro Domine. And Henry, you know, he does a lot of, when he's not doing guitar and living in Santa Cruz, he's down in Antarctica doing skin diving. He helped Herzog with one of his movies down there with music. And I got to do something with him and Wayne Pete, your buddy, organ buddy of Nels Klein, and Vinnie Goley on the reeds, and John Hanahan on the drums, the Two Sweets, John Coltrane. You know, I was like, man, are you really want to try this? I use the Watt Power bass. I usually don't record. I do gigs with that, but I use. Henry said, you use that one, please. I said, okay. Cool. And then finally, Soam, the Bette Mustache. Now, I know about Soam, like when you go over the Channel from England to in France, and then you come out in Calais, and then you're going towards Belgium and Holland and stuff.
Correct.
And you pass this big river, and a lot of young guys were murdered about 100 years ago.
1914, 1918 more, First World War. It was the site of a massive massacre. Really ugly times. You know, people in trenches, up to their necks in mud. You know, bivouacked in crap, trench foot. You know, it was a full works. It was horrible. It was really horrible. And the guy who wrote the words and sang on this is Johannes Van der Weert, who was used to be the singer in a Rotterdam band called the Rondos, an anarcho punk band, really one of the greatest Dutch bands there's been. And so I'd asked him to contribute the words and to sing on the track. And he had picked that particular subject because he's really versed on it. So he wrote incredibly touching lyrics to this song for it and sang them as well.
Yeah, very heavy. All of them, young people.
Yeah.
And they said it's going to end all, but then 20 years later, another one that killed even more.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Those two events took place in such a short space of time, one after the other. You talk about people learning from the past, but it seems at that point they hadn't. And we're hoping that we're not going to be repeating the same mistake again anytime soon.
Well, when you base an economy on building weapons, like they're never going to get fucking used.
Yeah, but that's also asking for trouble, isn't it? It's almost like stockpiling a whole bunch of things there and people with an itchy trigger finger waiting to, play with their toys.
I mentioned that because it was an economic stimulator, right, to get everybody out of depression.
Right.
Yeah, well, be careful for what you wish for. What's next musically for you? God, you got so many things going. Like you said, it's your life. It ain't just a side thing.
No, I've just, we started recording the next King Champion Sounds album as well, kind of halfway through that. And what we've put together so far, I think, sounds fantastic. It's really different from the other things we've done. It's got a real soul to it, what we're doing at the moment. And I think people are going to be really surprised by what we put out. It's not, people will say, oh, that's not King Champion Sounds, but it is. It is us, and it's really something. I didn't want to do something that kind of repeated a formula. I didn't want to get into a formulaic kind of setup where we're just like churning out the same old thing. I wanted to keep everybody on you've got to keep everyone on their toes. You've got to keep it thrilling for yourself as well in making that music. So we've gone for a different style. Maybe, I don't know if that's the right word. We're making our own music, but it's a different direction. Let's put it that way. So that's really exciting. And I just finished producing an album for Ollie, for Ivan the Tolerable, which features your good self on vocals. So I got that all done in the summer as well.
Oh, reading the Karen Schomer words, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Marky Smith said something, me and your grandma and bongos is the fault, right? Anything.
Yeah. Well, he didn't quite say it like that, but a journalist kind of took it, twisted it a little bit more. But everybody, when they hear it, knows exactly what it means, yeah.
I had a Henry
McGraw. I miss Mark still.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm really missing.
I had Henry McGraw on the last episode, and he worked with him for a little while. He said he was something else. Something else.
I knew him for a really, really, really long time, and he was always so, so kind to me, and he always looked forward to seeing me and was just happy whenever I was there. And I used to send him postcards whenever I was on tour for 20, 25 years. I sent him postcards regularly and he used to love it. He was really appreciated that. You know, and every time I'd meet him in Manchester, he'd take me out for a drink and he'd buy me a present or a book or something. And you'd be, he was always really, really kind to me. So, I'd go to see The Fall a lot, like a lot. he always had time for me, and I'd generally try and keep out of his way. But sometimes, one of the other band guys would say, "Mark really wants to see you," so and I'd pop back and give me a drink and have a chat. And I still really, really miss the guy and miss the music that he made.
It's about people. It's always going to be about people. And man,
absolutely.
When you get this new album out, let's come back on the show and play it all and talk about each tune. Since
fantastic.
Especially, you say, it's kind of a different direct.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'll you'll be the first person to receive it. And to
I want to be the first person to play it on the internet.
Well, let's make that a promise, and I'll guarantee that you'll be the first one to receive it and to play it.
Oh, man, I love you. People, it's been June 6, 2020. Dish a Watt from Peter Show. Keep your powder right.